You know, my mom died when I was in high school. So I remember so often in high school and in the beginning of college, you know, being at Target with your friends and like everyone else's untraumatized teenagers. And I see, you know, whatchamacallit candies. And I'm like, oh, that was my mom's favorite candy before she died. And they're like, wow, this just got depressing. And it's like, it's just my life, you know? But, and so I've learned like how to not say those things. I also think that like sometimes you do just need to express those moments. And I just want to create a safe space where people feel like they can share that.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Before we get started, we want to invite you to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media. We are really excited to begin this journey with all of you, and we want this to be a place where we can share your stories as much as ours.
Find out more on our website and socials, all linked in the description. This episode is the who, what, when, and where of our podcast. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Nothing Was the Same Grief Podcast. My name is Jocelyn.
I'm Kimberly.
We met in a workout class 6 months ago in New York.
And crazy because you live in LA and I am full-time in New York. And so you were just visiting and we happened to be in the same workout class that ironically I've only been at PVolve because, shout out to PVolve, because a grief friend of mine told me that it changed her grief for her.
I did not even know that.
Yeah, I know. I just realized I've never even told you that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. We are launching on April Fool's Day, which to some might seem like a weird day to launch a podcast, but it actually has a lot of meaning for us and kind of sets us up to say why we're qualified to have a grief podcast. So yesterday, March 31st, marks 17 years since my mom was killed by a drunk driver. And I had to essentially then tell people on April Fool's Day that my mom died. And then you shared.
Yeah, so my sister, tomorrow, April 2nd, will be 7 years that she died from brain cancer. And so on April 1st, the day before she died, it was the last day that she was here. And so for us, it was just a weird thing to have the day, you know, March 31st and April 2nd, with April 1st being right in the middle. So it was just one of our many things I feel like that we had in common about our grief stories.
Yeah. And even how we met, I know we just mentioned it at PVolve, but it's really interesting because we met, I want to say that was like a Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. And that Sunday, I kind of had felt like a confirmation from a woman that I know bringing up me writing a book about grief, which is something I had been praying about for a while. And I had been thinking, well, if I'm going to write a book about grief, I probably should start with a podcast.
Always a good first step.
Yeah, in my marketing brain. And so then to meet you and follow you, which it's so funny that I had a feeling you were going to ask for my Instagram after we were talking after class. And I don't know if you all know this. I work in social media, so I'm aware of this. But when you follow someone on Instagram, later when you open the app, it'll show you their most recent post. So I opened my app a few hours after meeting you and realized you were just on a podcast talking about grief and that you're writing a book about grief.
Yeah.
And I was just so blown away by like
that was crazy.
The connection. And I was like, now I'm going to DM this girl and see if we can meet up because this just feels really kismet.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah, here we are almost 6 months later. And what is also crazy about that, I was invited onto a podcast to talk about sobriety and grief and how they're intertwined. And I had just started out my sobriety journey. And so that's also, you know, something that I think about because I was only invited onto that podcast because of my sobriety journey. And so just how all things kind of interconnect and what led us here today to start this podcast, to have these conversations that we really want to be having and cultivating and creating a grief community.
Yeah. And I think that the thing that stuck us the most in starting was figuring out a name. We have a sheet of about 40 names that we were going over. And I think Nothing Was the Same was sparked from something that you had mentioned.
Yeah. So version 2.0 was something for me that I always try to tell people in their grief journey. You know, it's like you're never going to have that first version of yourself. Your life will be different. You will be different. So I've kind of coined it version 2.0 because I think it's important to embrace that you will have a new version 2.0. And obviously it will take a lot in your journey to get to accepting that. But so for me, version 2.0 kind of insinuates my life now and who I am and who I've become since losing my sister. And so when you thought of Nothing Was the Same, you can share a bit about that, you know,
yeah,
how that came to be.
I liked the concept for version 2.0, but for some reason in my head, it just automatically sounded like a tech podcast. And so I was like, where can we take this? And I heard the song Since You've Been Gone, which everyone in the world knows. And for a second we were playing with doing that, but I just feel like that's so Kelly Clarkson coded. Like, we just can't rebrand Since You've Been Gone. And then I thought of, so as I mentioned, my mom was killed by a drunk driver on a Saturday, March 31st, 2007. And a moment that always stuck with me amongst many that we will talk about in the aftermath of that accident was the next morning I was walking in our hallway of our home to go to the bathroom, and I saw my dad sitting down with my brothers, who were 6 and 11 at the time, and I realized he was about to tell them what had happened. And I sat down with him, and as he was kind of explaining such an amazing loss, amazing in the sense of major loss, to such young little babies, my brothers, in that moment I just realized that my life would never be the same. I used to speak from those against drunk driving, and that was always like a point for me that I focused on. Like, that moment I realized not only was nothing the same, but I also realized I had to grow up much faster. And I feel like that's a universal experience for anyone who goes through grief, is like the life that you had is gone, the life that you envisioned for yourself is gone, because you're now missing this important person. And so Nothing Was the Same just really felt like a good description for what we want this to be. And I know that you've had experiences telling people the name since we've confirmed it that have really been powerful for people. And the same for me, like when I say to people, they're like, you know, I don't ever want to place the experience of grief on someone. So I don't say like, I'm sure you can relate because, you know, maybe people don't feel that way. But everyone I've shared it with is like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, totally. And for me with, I mean, that story, something that did come to mind is that you share about your brothers being babies, you know, but from the outside perspective, looking into your story, you were a baby at 16, you know, and for what you've had to go through in your life, I think your story is so powerful. And what, when we initially met, I was like, people need to know, people need to hear your story, people need to know what you've been through, because I think you can really shine a light for others in the same situation. Because you were a baby yourself, and I think you've had to use this to really, like you said, grow up quickly, you know, in a way that you otherwise wouldn't have had to. And so I think for you, Nothing Was the Same is a very, it really speaks volumes about your journey. And for mine, with my sister being sick, you know, that phone call that we got confirming that she did have a seizure, and that's kind of how we found out about her brain cancer. I remember exactly where I was. It was my oldest sister who called me. You know, it was right before we were going to have a snowstorm in New York. And that was a defining moment. Like, my life will never be the same from that point. You know, she battled for 27 months and then ultimately, you know, lost her fight. But even from, you know, there's always a moment in someone's journey with grief that nothing will be the same, whether it's a longer process for someone, you know, who is sick, or if it's, you know, a traumatic event that, similar to your story, you know, it's, nothing will be the same.
Yeah, and I feel like those conversations and that journey is really a big part of why we're starting this podcast. Mm-hmm. I know that myself, I have encountered so many people in the last 17 years that have experienced grief. I've had two close friends of mine experience very traumatic losses, specifically with their parents. One just a year and a half after my mom passed, and then another more recently. And then I've also collected people that have become my close friends because we have this in common. Mm-hmm. And I think that something that is important to me in the conversations that we're going to have is creating a safe space to have conversations that people might fear jumping into because it's depressing or it's trauma dumping or it's dark. I mean, you know, my mom died when I was in high school. So I remember so often in high school and in the beginning of college, you know, being at Target with your friends and like everyone else is untraumatized teenagers, and I see, you know, whatchamacallit candies, and I'm like, oh, that was my mom's favorite candy before she died. And they're like, wow, this just got depressing.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's just my life, you know.
Yeah.
But and so I've learned like how to not say those things. Like, mm-hmm. if I drive by a street that was the street my mom died on, I'm not just gonna say that. But I also think that like sometimes you do just need to express those moments, and, mm-hmm. and I just want to create a safe space where people feel like they can share that. Even outside of grief, I've had so many people kind of trauma dump on me and then apologize, and I'm like, talking about grief is like talking about breakfast, because it's my life and it's just something that I face every day. And so it's just so important to me that here people feel like they can say the things that they may not have safe spaces to say, or even with each other.
No, and I think people who have experienced it understand that there's no, like you said, with your breakfast, like it's become so ingrained in who you are. And so not talking about it feels, it's like, okay, well, we cannot talk about it, but we're already thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And it's these people who are so important to you. It's like, I'm not just gonna, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my sister. And so to expect other people to not have a place to talk to about that, you know, even outside of therapy or a clinical space, I think it's important to have people you can go to where you don't feel like you're trauma dumping or you feel like you're a burden. I mean, I know being the youngest of four girls growing up, like I never want to be a burden on people. And so for me, that looked like not processing my grief for a while and not even getting therapy and drinking and pretending like I was okay. And so for me, this podcast for me is creating a space together that I would have wanted to have when I was grieving in my early days. And just to have these conversations, to storytell, to hear people, to hear what they've been through and what they're going through with their grief and how they've overcome, you know, the, one of these horrific things that happened that we all have to deal with eventually, and how to overcome it while still living a life that has meaning.
Yeah. I've come up with the term recently, and I mean, people have probably said this, but I realized that I think grief is a life sentence, and that there's really no point that I can picture in my life where I won't miss my mom,
right,
and grieve the life that I would have gotten to live with her, and grieve the moments that I get to even be happy in that she's not present for. And so I feel like this podcast really is for the people who have been given this life sentence.
Yeah.
And for the people that are just trying to navigate in every journey and part of their life. I remember, and I've told you this, like when my mom passed, I had to go to court against the girl who hit her. And I had to write a letter to the judge explaining why my mom's life mattered. And I had to, and in my letter, a lot of people wrote the letter that knew my mom. But I mentioned like all of the moments that I knew I would miss my mom. And all those, I've lived a lot of those. I've graduated college and I finally got to move to New York and I got married and had my first boyfriend and all those things. And I feel like I just want to make sure that we're creating a space, and this podcast is for the people who are just living those moments and don't really know how to function in them. And,
right.
And also I think that there is going to be beauty in the things that we share that we don't even think are powerful, you know, but might feel relatable to people that don't have people around them that are talking about this. So if any of that sounds like something that would be impactful for you, then these conversations are definitely for you.
Yeah. And to go off on that, I think, you know, with having these conversations, it's important for me to have the conversations of what life has really looked like. And similar to all these moments, like you're all of these things that, why are we not talking about it? Why are there not more conversations being had? And you know, I want to talk about dating in New York post-grief and what that looked like and why I was drinking so much and why it took me so long to find a therapist that aligned with me. Like, these things matter. And I think there's so many people out there, I would imagine, that have lost someone and aren't in therapy and really need a place that they can have real conversations about what to actually expect moving forward in their grief process. And something else, you know, that I wanted to say too is that when my sister first died, those are the people I wanted to speak to, were people who had lost someone. And, you know, because I didn't go to therapy for so long after, it was like, these conversations are what kept me going. Or talking to people who understood, you know, even if it wasn't sibling loss per se, it was like, they knew grief and they knew what I was going through. And those were the most meaningful conversations that I had had.
Yeah. And so on this season, on this podcast, you can expect to hear from us. First, we'll be sharing a bit about our journeys, because we do think that one of the things that we really liked when we met each other, liked is like not necessarily the right word. We like laugh about this, but I appreciate that we have very different grief experiences, not only in who we lost, but how we lost them. And we want to make sure that we're talking about that, but also inviting on guests who can add value in their grief in different ways. And then talking about things, you know, triggers and dating and anniversaries And I think something that in talking with our friends and family that is really important is, how do you show up for someone who's grieving? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you support someone in their life sentence of grief?
Right, because it's not just the first year. It's onward. It's forever. So what does that look like, and what are the pieces involved in that?
Yeah. So we're excited. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too.
Excited, nervous, anxious, scared.
All the things. There's been a lot of tears, a lot of exciting moments, and just feeling surreal that this is, that, you know, our lives have connected in this way to lead us to this point.
Yeah.
And we're really hoping to make an impact in this, in a special way for people.
We were going to share a few things about ourselves just for relatability. So a couple things about me. I am 33 years old. We're both 1990 babies. Yep. When's your birthday, actually? Are you older than me?
June 24th. I'm a few months. We're both summer babies.
Yeah. And way taller. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm actually from here, as I mentioned. I'm not a transplant like a lot of people. I lived in Brooklyn for 5 years, bedside exclusively. But now I'm back. I moved back 2 years ago when I got married to my husband. I am Cuban and Black, and I own a social media agency called March 4th, because March 4th is my mom's birthday, and it's the only day of the year that has meaning simply by saying it, which has been very inspirational to me. I have it tattooed on me for a long time since I learned that. And then once I started a company and needed an LLC, I was like, obviously this is my company name. So that is a little tiny bit about me outside of grief.
Yeah, and I am 33, obviously, as well. Born and raised in Arizona. I went to school in Oregon and then had this dream to live in New York City. So I've been there now for 10 years. I live in Soho, and I'm a freelance family photographer. And something about photography for me, it just holds meaning, because one of the many triggers that I face with grief is looking for photos of my sister and I and realizing that there is a finite amount of them. And so for me, photography has given me a new meaning after she died, that I want to be able to create these moments for people. So I'm in Soho, New York.
So one thing we want to do when we close every episode is, leaning into the nothing was the same, we're going to do a weekly check-in on either after grief or before grief, what's come up for us. And so something that came up for me this week, I can kick us off, is I had to drive to Newport this week, which meant I had to go by the South Bay, which is where I grew up. And I also lost my aunt two or three years after my mom. And she was probably the second woman in my life that I wanted to be like. Mm-hmm. And so the South Bay is just filled with, which is where we all lived, just like a life that I don't feel like I can access anymore. My grandparents moved away after that. You know, when you lose someone in the family, you kind of lose their whole side of the family when it comes to parents. So my aunt's daughter, you know, she moved in with her dad. We didn't see her as much. And I just kind of lost the childhood that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. So driving, or even thinking I'm going to Torrance, is very triggering. And my therapist recommended that I should go there and release, like go to all the places that have hold this trauma for me and release them. But I kind of want to hold on to them, which might be my own issue. But man, just driving on Monday to Newport and having the anxiety of knowing I was going to pass those exits, mm-hmm. and then driving by them and seeing the hill my mom's buried on, it was very triggering for me. And that's definitely like an after grief combo with before grief, yeah. that I experienced this week.
And you know, you'll never know until you're in the moment how you're going to feel in those situations. And I think that's the really triggering and confusing and complex thing about grief, is that it just happens. And you can prepare for it. You knew you were going to drive to Newport, but then in that moment, there's no amount of preparation. You just have to sit in it and experience it. And I don't think I'd be brave enough either to release it. So I get, and I think a lot of people who have grieved understand that there's a delicate process of holding on to things and not the letting go of, even if it's something painful to hold. We honestly kind of had a similar one this week, because we had met for lunch on Sunday, and we met at Jones on 3rd in LA. And that is somewhere that I had gone because my sister was treated in LA at the end of her journey with cancer at Cedars-Sinai. And so Jones on 3rd was one of the places I went to during her treatment by myself. And while I was driving there, it was like my whole body froze and I started to cry, and it was like I couldn't shake it. I couldn't be in that moment without remembering where I was. And, you know, LA in itself holds a lot of special memories because it's where our last photo was taken, where we last had dinner together, you know. And being here, I'm like, okay, do I really want to go to that restaurant ever again? No, I don't, because I want that last time we had dinner together to be special. And so I fully relate to not being able to release things. I think there's certain things that I'm just, I don't know if I'll hold on to it forever, but I'm holding on to it still. And maybe one day I'll be ready to release it. But yeah, there's things that you just have to face it. Even when I met you for lunch, I said, I just had a crazy experience coming here. You can go in an order. I'm going to take a second, get my bearings straight, have a moment, you know, and then I let the moment go.
So interesting that, you know, that was our first in-person, like, hang. We've also obviously met, but, like, we wanted to intentionally get just to spend some time together. And that on this journey, I would pick somewhere random. I spent, like, hours trying to find, like, because I don't leave Culver City. So I was like, what's in the middle of us?
Yeah.
And I tried to find something that would work for both of us. And the fact that I chose something that...
Yeah, without even knowing.
Without even knowing. Mm-hmm. It's just goes to show how these moments pop up.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do about them. You just have to face them.
In the next episode, we'll be diving more into Kimberly's story.
Yeah, and we'll share a bit more, too, about ourselves and a little bit about our own journeys leading up to our grief.
All right.
All right. Thanks, all. Looking forward.
Thank you. See you in the next episode.